You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, we're glad y'all are here tonight. If you hadn't noticed, just about every song we sing at the Rec Room has something to do with Jesus. Well, we love Him, and He loves us. That's the best part of it. This is a song to Him. It says, "Your love is higher than the mountain." Ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains. Deep within my heart, Lord, I'm crying out for you. Wrap your arms around this heart of mine. Each and every day, Lord, I give you all my praise. Father, I am so in love with you. Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deep than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains. Morning by morning, my eyes can see the sun, and all of my worries fade away. Jesus, my Savior, you are the music of my heart. You gave me the reason to give my very best. Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me. Day after day, your love for me remains.
Thank you all. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus. That's easy to find because that's the second book in the Bible. Book of Exodus, chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. Anybody want to buy one? We got some hands up. We got some Bibles. We must be having a cold wave coming. Is it sleeting outside? I see all the women have got on. What? I always figured women were cold-hearted. Now we know. Oh, goodness. Everybody got a Bible? All right, Exodus chapter 8. Let me give you a little background on this. For 400 years, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. They had gone through many pharaohs. Pharaoh is not a proper name. It's a name like king, governor, mayor. It just describes somebody. In fact, sometimes a pharaoh is called a king in the Bible. But they were the rulers over Egypt. And they kept the children of Israel in bondage. And the children of Israel prayed to their God for deliverance. And it took 400 years for God to make a move on that. And he called a man that was 80 years of age, of all things, by the name of Moses, to do that. Moses had spent the first 40 years of his life in Pharaoh's court, that particular Pharaoh, not the one that he's going back against. Because he'd been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And he had learned all the things. He'd got the best education and the best lifestyle that money had to offer. And then he knew that God wanted him to deliver the Jews. And he tried to break up a fight between an Egyptian and a Jew. And he ended up killing the Egyptian. And then the next day, two Jews get in a fight, and he's trying to stop them. And the one that done the other one wrong said, "You're going to kill me like you did that Egyptian yesterday." And Moses knew somebody snitched on him. And so he hooked them. Spent the next 40 years of his life on the backside of a desert feeding sheep, herding sheep. And then God called him to go back to deliver his people Israel. And Moses made every excuse in the world of not to go back. But he ends up going back. And God said, "I'm telling you now, Moses is going to Pharaoh is going to be a hard nut to crack. Pharaoh is not going to let those people go. I'm going to have to bring in some real punishment to Pharaoh to get his attention." But he said, "I want you to go in and talk to him." So Moses went in and asked Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh said, "You got to be out of your mind." And so God turned all the water into blood. He told Moses, he said, "Shake your rod over the rivers." And they all turned to blood. It stunk like blood. People had nothing to drink in the water because it had all turned to blood. It was everywhere. It was a stench. All the fish, all the marine animals died in the water. And Pharaoh didn't move, didn't budge. And at the end of 7 days, God told Moses, he said, "Moses, go back to him and ask him again to let the people go." And that's where we're going to start tonight, on Moses' second trip back to Pharaoh. And we'll start reading in chapter 8 and verse 1. "And said, And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, and into thy bed, into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and in thy ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy servants." Now notice what Moses announces is going to happen. His announcement is, Pharaoh, you got a choice. If you let the people go, are you going to have some frogs to deal with? Now think about this for a minute. Now these are green, slimy frogs in your bed. Tonight when you go to bed, think about that. They were in their kitchen. They were in their dining room. Everywhere you looked, there's frogs, green, slimy frogs that came up out of the river. And you talk about some problems. And not just to Pharaoh and in his house, but into all the Egyptians and even into the slaves, the servants, which would be the Jews too. They are everywhere. Notice that. They're in the bedchamber, verse 3. They're in the bed, in the house of the servants of all thy people, in thine ovens and in thy kneading troughs, where you're in there trying to make bread and cook. There are green frogs jumping in everywhere. You get rid of one, another one jumps in. Then he said, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, upon thy people, and upon thy servants. And in verse 5, the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. And I'd have been Pharaoh, I'd slap me some Egyptians. Said, well, we can do the same thing. Did how about getting rid of them, dude? Don't make more of them. What are you doing? And the magicians did so and brought up frogs in the land of Egypt. Verse 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses. Now, just as Moses had announced that the frogs are coming, the frogs arrived. Just like God said. It's, you know, just because sometimes things doesn't happen, that they prayed for 400 years to get out of this bondage. And just because God doesn't move in the next 30 seconds doesn't mean that God's not going to move. Also, sometimes when we pray, we forget that no is an answer. I've said this before in here, but I think basically in my prayer life, I've got four different answers. Thank God I've heard Him say yes. I've also heard Him say no. And by the way, as I look back over it, I thank God for that. And then sometime God says later, just like a good parent to a child who's wanting some candy, and they say, after you eat your dinner, you can have some. That's later. And in my case, sometime God just said, Leland, you got to be kidding. I ain't going to do that. That's silly. Wouldn't do that at all. But they came. God always keeps His word. Paul said this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you realize that God doesn't have to do a thing for you and I to reap what we sow? That's the law of the land. See, if you sow oats, oats coming up. If God intervenes, He can bring forth apple trees. But if He doesn't bring forth apple trees, if He doesn't intervene, oats are coming up. And many of us have sown our wild oats. And some of us have already paid for a bunch of them. And I wish I could tell you I could put that in past tense with me and say paid. But I can't. We will continue to pay. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a law like gravity. If I take my glasses and drop them, they don't go up. Now, God could take them up. That'd take God in. If God doesn't intervene, if God goes to lunch, there's some laws that are still in effect. There's some things that if we do them, we're going to get caught and we're going to have to pay the price. Over in the book of Numbers, Moses said this. He said, be sure your sins will find you out. Now then, here's Pharaoh's choice, starting at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Now notice, first thing Pharaoh says is, pray for me. Go to your God and pray for me. Now all of a sudden, Pharaoh, who acted like he didn't even know who God was, is now asking Moses to pray for him. pray for me. The second thing he said, I'll let the people go. I don't know how often. I'm thinking now, young man, that for 6 months, I guess, out here at Ector County, he was a working inmate, and he was a runner. Some of you know what that is. Anyway, and every time that I'd want to go, that I needed to see an inmate, I would give the slip to him, and he'd go give it, take it to the wing, wherever that the inmate was, give it to the officer there, and they would get the inmate, and we would sit down at the law library and talk. And every day that I was out there, which is twice a week, he said, "Can we have prayer? Can we pray?" "Yes, sir, we can." We were every day, crushed that prayer. Well, about halfway through that, I said, "By the way," I knew he was getting fairly close to him getting out. I said, "You come into the rec room?" "Oh, yes, sir." "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "That's every third." "Oh, yeah, I've got it down. You give me one of the newsletters. I got it marked. I'll be there." Well, this is the second Thursday night he hadn't showed up. I would like to have a nickel for everybody that told me they was going to be here and didn't come. I'd be on vacation tonight. I'd like to have everybody said, "Hey, man, I'm coming to church. I'm going to be at church." And they're not here at church. Yeah, man, I'm always... Pharaoh said, "Pray for me. Pray for me." Isn't it amazing how religious we can get in TDC? They must have a high priest or something, state of Texas, that's dealing with people. Because, man alive, boy, I'm going to be there. Had another fella that came to church here after he got out of jail. Then he went to prison. And he would write. He would call. And he had a lot of hard times. And Loops tried to be of some help at times. And he got out of prison. And through these letters, boy, as soon as I get out, I'll be there. I want you to help me find a job. We're going to do this. I'm going to get back in Sunday school class. I'm going to be at the rec room. He has been out 5 weeks now. He hadn't been here, but I noticed this week that he decided to go back to Ector County. My, how we tell God stuff. Now, let me tell you what. It's all right to lie to me. But there's two folks you're pretty stupid to lie to. Number one's God, number two's yourself. I remember an old man told me in my drunken days, he said, "Leland, it's bad enough for you to lie to other people, but it's worse to lie to yourself." Pharaoh's not being honest. Pharaoh is giving some checks with his mouth that his body ain't going to be able to cash. He said, "I'll let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord." And so listen to this. Now here's the point I want to get to. This everything we've said leads to this. I want you to get listen to this. "And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me." Man, that's great. Glory. You're going to let the people go. That's good. When, circle that, highlight it in your Bible. "When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, and that they may remain in the river only?" And he said, what? "Tomorrow." "Tomorrow. Hey, man, I just made you bail. When are you going to leave jail?" "Tomorrow. I want to wait and get breakfast." "Hey, man, you just made parole. When do you want to go back to Odessa?" "Tomorrow I need to finish up some stuff." "We found a cure for your cancer. When do you want to take it?" "I guess tomorrow. I don't have anything much scheduled." tomorrow. You want to sleep with the frogs one more night, Pharaoh? Do you want those frogs in your kitchen one more night, in your bed one more night? You want one... Walt Hanford, who was a great preacher many years ago, preached a sermon, and I guess 40 people have preached the same thing. And I can't think of a better title than his, so I just copied it. But it was One More Night with the Frogs. Would you want to stay one more night in that? And here's what we do. We keep putting off till tomorrow what we tell God we're going to do. See, because Pharaoh knows that he doesn't have to let the people go till the frogs stop. And just one more flame, and I'm going to quit. I'd quit now, but I got two joints left, and it'd be terrible to waste them. I just scored, and I'm certainly not going to flush this stuff. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. I'll just wait till tomorrow. Now, holding your finger there, we're going to go way over toward the back of the Bible. You get to the book of Hebrews, and you just go one more book. Call the book of James. And look at chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow, on the morrow. We don't know if tomorrow's going to get here or not. I've got a cousin that they just brought back today from MD Anderson. It's in Abilene Hospital. It may not make it till tomorrow. And his family knows. They moved him into hospice. When M.D. Anderson sends you home, that's the end gate. But you know what? He may live longer than 10 people in Odessa, Texas tonight. You don't pick up your paper without looking at some deaths. He said, those that say tomorrow, he said, look. He said, for you ought to say, look at that, verse 15, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Pharaoh said tomorrow. Should have bowed your heads. The eyes closed. Many of you, maybe not many, but some of you, in this group, this very night, have said tomorrow. You've said it in this service over the past 2 or 3 weeks. You've said it in your bed at night, thinking, I mean, we want to act tough, but many of us have gone to sleep with tears in our eyes. We cried ourselves to sleep. Because we know. We're not fools. We know what we ought to do. And all just... I don't want to do it. We know what we need to do. And we know we need to do it now. The Bible said today, not tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not in a little while. Not later on. Tonight you need to solve that problem between you and Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with a religion or a denomination. What it has to do with is you and Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray in just a moment. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, you say, Leland, when you pray, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up real quickly and put it back down? Would you pray for me? I say it, sir. I say yours and yours and yours. The back, yes, yours. Your son, yes. Others. Anyone else? Real quick. I say yours, sir. Anyone else? I see yours, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to pray just in a moment. And here's what I want you to do while I'm praying. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I put it off too long. Tonight, I trust you as my Savior. I believe you died for me on the cross for my sins, arose again from the dead, and you're coming back to get me. Tonight, I put my faith and trust in you to take me to heaven. That's all I know to do. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father is there standing. We're praying. And I pray that there are those that are saying that prayer that we just talked about. I pray that they're praying to you for their salvation of their soul, and they're turning their body, soul, and spirit over to you as best they know how. They're giving it to you. Then, Father, I pray now that you'd have them to give them the courage that it takes to step out now, not tomorrow, now, tonight, and come and make their stand for Jesus Christ. Say, I want to be on Jesus' side. I join His army. Help them to come. Our Father, help them to come. In Christ's name we pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Charles sang, would you come? On the very first word, you step out and say, I'm coming. I want to be saved tonight. I'm coming. Here I come.
I've wandered far.
You know what you need to do. Come on, right now. There'll be somebody here to pray with you. Somebody here to show you in the Bible. Come right on.
I'm coming.
Coming home. Do what God wants you to do.
The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Come on. Still bowed, eyes still closed, hands went up all over this auditorium. You want to spend one more night with the frog? Now, I know some of you. Your hands didn't go up. I know some of you like to make faces and play with one another during the invitation, and this is just a game with you. I understand that. But also know there's some of you that want to mean business. Would you mean business? We're going to sing another verse. If no one comes, we'll be through. Did you mean business when you put your hand up? Would you come? Come on, right now. Step right out. It takes courage. Yes, it does. Come on.
Now I'm coming. Now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Would you come?
So
Our precious Heavenly Father, I hope I didn't fail you. And Father, I often pray, and I want to pray that again tonight, and I'm not sure that you want me to. I always try to close this by praying that you'll give those that lifted their hand another chance, those that should have lifted their hand another chance. Father, I hope, I really hope that you don't have to send things into these lives like you did the Egyptians. More than that, Father, I pray that you don't allow Satan to take one of these lives. That we could all come back. Now, Father, that's my desire. I turn that over to you. I know this. I'm afraid of you. I don't want to play games with you. And Father, I pray that you'd help those. Even before we leave this building, they could still trust you here tonight. They'd come talk to Charles or Johnny or Brother Doug or me or Rick or a lot of other Christians in this building and be saved right tonight. Father, we just don't want to see an epidemic of frogs on your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. Refreshments are open.
And I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Master of the sea, heard my despairing cry from the waters.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.